dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti, and this is Brain Burrow. This is one of our Digging Deep sessions where we have an opportunity to connect with our guest, where they will have an opportunity to talk more about their motivations, their struggles, their triumphs, and any recommendations they have for you out there as the listener and viewer. So I'm very pleased to mention that our guest today is Dylan Harvey, and I worked with Dylan before on the Backwoods Bubba film, but I really don't know that much about her. So it's an opportunity for me and you to learn more about Dylan Harvey. So with that, I will turn it over to her by asking the big question, who is Dylan Harvey?
Just a woman that wants to act, I guess.
What sounds so simple?
Just your average woman.
Okay.
There's really not much to say about that.
Ah, but there's so much more beneath the surface there. So what motivated you to do this? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, as I say, for start, I'm married. I have two kids and I live in Kansas. So there's the basic start there.
Yeah.
But as far as motivation for acting goes, I don't know. I just love doing it. I just like getting out there and just being someone new for a day or a week or a month, depending on how long the film is.
So what got you into acting in the first place?
Just always wanted to do it growing up. Never had a chance to. Couldn't really do much of it a whole lot when my kids were younger. But now that they're older, I can actually venture out more and do things. Like Backwoods Bubba, for instance. Going to Virginia was the very first time I traveled completely alone. Oh. Usually I would have my husband, or the first time we went to LA without my husband was 3 years ago, I think it was, for Dreaming Purple Neon. And that was for our first premiere, or my first premiere. And I went out there with him and a couple actors. But that was the first time without my husband. So my entire life literally was just revolved around my husband and my kids for the longest time. And then my husband knew that I had an interest in modeling. He knew I had an interest in acting. And he finally said, hey, if you want to do it, just go do it. So I did.
Wow. I mean, you literally grabbed the bull by the horns and you just went out and did it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, horror movies was not the first thing on my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I got into it, I was just looking, searching for auditions. But I never in a million years thought that I would be actually in, you know, getting snagged into the horror community and stuff, which I think is wonderful because they've been just like the most awesome people I've met. And it's been a lot of fun, but I definitely had no idea that's where I was heading. I started out doing a couple of shorts, for a few people in Kansas City, just getting my feet out there. I tried auditioning for theater in Topeka, but I didn't land any parts in the theater wise, which is fine because I get hired more out doing camera work. So like, well, okay, so maybe that's just where I'm destined to be, is on the screen and not on the stage. So that's fine. I actually have a lot more fun in it this way. This way I get retakes if I mess up.
Good way to look at it, for sure. So it sounds like your expectations of what you wanted to do were different once you actually started to kind of go in there and do it.
They were different, but as far as being acting, it's still the same. Like, I'm still doing what I achieved to set out to do. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know which direction it was going to go. You know, because I grew up pretty poor. I didn't have hardly anything to our names. I grew up with three sisters before my mom remarried when I was a teenager. And we were constantly moving between Kansas and Oklahoma all the time. We would live at friends' homes, slept on the floor. We didn't even have our own TV until like maybe a few times we would have one. And then when we did have a TV, like very select channels, so very little at times. And then so when we did get to watch movies, we would rent VHSs from the local library and we watched stuff like Disney movies mostly. But family movies. Because my mom, she liked Halloween movies. Not necessarily horror, gory stuff that I do now. She didn't like that kind of deep, dark stuff for us to watch. But she did like the little kid-friendly Halloween-type style movies.
So what influence did your childhood experiences have on you today? I mean, how do they influence what you do?
I think just the dark. I had a pretty dark childhood. So just wanting to not be myself or not wanting to have that lifestyle. Like I just forget that that's who I was when I was younger. So I can have a completely different personality. And I like doing that, being able to switch for a while from time to time.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And thanks for sharing that. It's not always easy to talk about our childhood, especially when everything's, you know, maybe aren't as bright as others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to turn to acting as a way to become a different person? I mean, because a lot of people, unfortunately, struggle with situations when they're growing up, but you've made a conscious effort to pursue acting as a way to sort of become another person, as a way to distract. So what made you decide to do that?
That actually vision was like before I had kids, of course, mm-hmm. the dream part of it, you know, always wanted to do that. Always wanted to, I dabbled a little bit in writing. I didn't really go anywhere with it. I did get a diploma in short story writing. And that was my way of escaping different surroundings, going to a new place. After I got diploma, I had my only daughter, first kid. And I didn't do anything with it after that. Just kind of left it in the shambles, you know, just behind a little bit as I was taking care of them, had my son. I did start dancing as an exotic dancer when my son was a little old, about 2-3 years old, I think. And I just really like interacting with the guest on the stage. And I just like putting on the costumes. Because when I went in and my stage name would be Fawn, my middle name. So that was my stage name for the longest time, for about 10, 12 years. And when I had to stop dancing because my knees were giving out on me. But I never wanted to give up that theatrics, if you will. I still liked entertaining people. And I figured, well, if I'm too old for this now, not that I'm too old for it, but my niece said I am, I can still do other stuff for entertainment. So that's when I went back to my childhood dream of wanting to be an actress. That's when I started Googling or even a model. I tried modeling first. And then I just gradually went into the acting roles after that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, it sounds like you've had quite the journey in, as you said, entertaining and interacting with people and really putting on that production.
When I was a kid, when me and my sisters were younger, like before my mom remarried, we would rewatch. When we did get to watch movies, I remember Wizard of Oz was one of our favorites, and me and my sisters would gather around together and we would reenact the Wizard of Oz. I always played the Wicked Witch. Well, my sisters got to play all the other parts. but I was always directing it with my sisters because I was the oldest of all three of them. So I was always directing them and telling them how to do it. And then I went in and do my part. And then as we got older, we watched things like Mel Brooks, Spaceballs. Love Mel Brooks. He's like I just absolutely love him so much. I would love to meet him one of these days. But we watched Spaceballs or Robin Hood Men in Tights. Those were our two favorites as we're kids. And we would reenact those outside in our front yard, just playing different characters, taking turns playing different characters in the movies and stuff. So,
wow,
that was one of my smaller getaways. So you'll have to forgive me if I don't remember everything that I did as a kid. So
it's all right. This isn't an opportunity for you to recount every single thing. It was just more about, you know, what generally were you thinking that drove you toward this? And it sounds like this has been a part of your life for a long time. So I wonder, of course, as you've done this and you've done, I mean, it sounds like a lot of different things in kind of living out that dream. What's been your takeaway as you look back on this over the last, you know, acting in films, dancing, all of that? What's been your takeaway as you look back?
The experience, the gratification from the fans who love it. I know there's, you know, not everybody's gonna like everything you do, but the people who do love it they're grateful for it and they love you for it. But it's the experience I'm getting from it. It's getting to meet new people. I love that. And I just love watching how everybody works differently. It's like the most unique thing to see. Like when two roses grow at the same time, they're both going to be different, you know? So, but watching the directors do their own thing. So I work with Todd Sheets mostly. I have worked with a few other directors in the past. And then I worked with Brad. Brad Thomason, and he was completely, you know, different from the way Todd works. So getting to work with different directors is just like a really cool thing to watch and how they do everything. And then watching my fellow actors and how they get into their roles is kind of neat to watch too.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of courage to be able to put yourself in vulnerable situations like that. Mm-hmm. So I do want to talk about that, right? So not only when you went to Virginia for Backwoods Bubba, you was an opportunity to work with Brad as a new director, but also, as you said, it was a chance to do that on your own. So what was that? What was that like for you to kind of all that experience?
That was the most scariest experience I had to begin because leading up to it, when I got the plane, when he ordered the plane tickets for me, at first I was already nervous just traveling alone. I'm like, okay, I've never been to an airport alone, which I usually go to Kansas City with my husband anyway. So he always helps me find the gates and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to get lost in this big airport that, because I have to take, not only do I go on my own, I have to switch planes. I've never had to switch planes before. So I'm like, I'm going to so get lost. I'm going to get on the wrong plane. I just know it. So I built up self-fear more than I really needed to, because everybody's telling me you can just ask the people that work the flight attendants, ask anybody anything and they'll help you out. Like, so, and they're right. They were super, super friendly. I really worked myself up in such a frenzy. Like, I scared myself so bad traveling alone. Yeah. Because I really thought I was going to screw up and get on a different plane and go someplace completely different. I was like, no. I would wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning going, I'm not going to make it.
Right. You'll end up in Vancouver or some random place like that. So
I wasn't even worried about the plane crashing. I was more worried about getting lost.
Well, okay. So it sounds like it was a pretty stressful situation for you.
It was at the start, but like I said, once I actually experienced it, this coming back home was easier to do. So I was like, oh, I did it. I finally did it on my own.
No, that's fantastic. Well, and you still chose to do it, right? Because you always have a choice as a human being, right? Because you could have been so paralyzed by fear that you decided to stay home and not do it at all. So, you know, part of this show, when I do it, the guests have reported that they learn things. You know, not the guests, the viewers and listeners have reported they learn things from the guest. So what advice would you have for other people who perhaps are feeling paralyzed by fear?
Everybody is so different, of course. Support system is always great. My husband's my biggest support system. And when he seen that I was getting, you know, freaked out, he would tell me it's going to be okay. In fact, he did so much that he actually went online to buy a ticket to go with me all the way to Virginia and then turn around and go right back home in one day just so I could get there. But I told him, I said, you know what? Just cancel the ticket. I can do this. So a support system is always helpful. Like if you have somebody you can talk to, they can talk to, especially somebody who's flown alone before, they can tell you and give you more of an idea of what you can do. But as far as getting out there, even driving, sometimes I'll have like slight anxiety attacks, just going into a different, like in Kansas City is so big. And there's so many different parts of Kansas City that I tend, if I miss a turn, I start having anxiety attacks. I miss a turn on the GPS or something. But, and then I tell myself, like my husband keeps telling me, don't worry, if you miss a turn, the GPS will still get you there. Just follow the best you can. You won't get lost. So that is probably my biggest fear, is just getting lost, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so I think you bring up a really good point, right? The support system is extremely important.
Yes.
Not only somebody who's knowledgeable in whatever it is you're trying to do that's new, but somebody that can almost get you out of your own head almost and sort of just refocus what you're thinking, especially when you find yourself kind of, again, spiraling out of control in your brain. So it sounds like somebody can help you reset is an important part of that. Mm-hmm. What else stresses you out? Fear of unknown situations. What else do you find kind of gets you a bit fearful?
Maybe not knowing my lines like I should.
Okay. We'll talk about that for a second, because for people that have never acted, you know, they may not be aware of what that's like. So talk about for a minute about that.
My memory isn't the greatest. I don't know if it's what it has to do with anything. Like, I dropped out of high school. I couldn't really get through school very well. Just pretty much flunking a lot of things. Of course, except for creative writing, but
it's
the only thing I did. But I ultimately ended up dropping out, and just, I have trouble maintaining information and stuff. So trying to figure out math was a big problem when I was growing up. Like, I just couldn't figure it out. In fact, I know this is silly, but I didn't learn to count change back to somebody until I was, till about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Okay. No, maybe probably less than that. It's when I tried bartending for a little while after I stopped dancing when I retired. I tried bartending and I was really completely nervous. Again, this is where my husband comes in. He showed me how it made sense to me, because it wasn't making sense to me of how to do it. And he took his time. It took us a few hours for me to figure it out. But he finally showed it to me in a tour. I actually understood it after that. And it's probably one of my most embarrassing things to even mention, because, you know, this is something you should know when you're a teenager. But I really never comprehended it. So my comprehension isn't the greatest. And that's one of the things that worries me about memorizing lines. Like, am I going to be able to get this? Am I going to be able to get this? There for a minute when I was doing Clownado and I had more lines, I looked into natural ways of trying to help you maintain memory. And one of them was eating avocados. And I was like,
oh,
I hate avocados. So, but I went out and I bought a big bag from Sam's Club, and I would tear it in half and I would eat it best I could. I fried it. I tried everything up to the point where I just could not get past the nasty taste. So finally, I just said, forget it. I want the nutrients. It's a superfood. So I would just mash it up, take a bite, and quickly drink some coffee down and didn't even chew it.
Wow. Clearly you're dedicated there to eating avocados. Okay.
Well, finally, I stopped recently for a little while, and then I got back into it again because I think it was helping a little.
Okay.
Just the nutrients alone. It's good for you anyway. I had a small scare with cancer for a minute, so I started eating it again because, again, it's a superfood anyway. So I started eating it. I was like, okay, I got to try a different way of eating this. So I tried it with some vanilla yogurt, and I was surprised. It tastes really good with yogurt. And I was like, I wish I would have tried this before. It was like the best way to eat it. I can actually eat it and enjoy it for once.
Right. The taste is covered up by the rest of the ingredients in the smoothie, right? That makes sense. Interesting.
Well, I thought frying it with cheese would work, but no.
Right. All right. Well, you know, obviously you did a lot of experimentation with that, and I'm glad that you found a solution that works. Is there avocado in your drink right now as you're drinking that?
No, it's just coffee.
Just curious. All right. Well, and thanks for sharing that about the cognition and the memory part of it, because I'm sure that could be frustrating and potentially fear inducing as well as you're involved in new situations.
Yeah. And we're given the script a pretty, you know, months in advance. So it gives us time to read it, not only memorize the line, but also gives us time to get into character, you know, because when you're doing low budget films, you don't have a lot of time to get to know each of the other actors. So you don't get to build chemistry very well.
Right.
So you have to do the best you can even on your own. And I don't, like, my husband's not an actor. He doesn't like doing stuff like that. My kids don't like it. And I can barely get my kids to help me with, like, playing opposite of me. So auditions are usually out the door. I have to do them alone. So,
okay.
But, oh, where were they going with that? I lost track.
Well, I mean, it was just a matter of, like, how sometimes, you know, dealing with some of those memory issues or cognition issues could be scary. Yeah. And it actually added another layer of complexity to your life. Okay.
And then if you don't remember it, of course, you're going to lose your character.
Yeah, of course, which impacts your ability to perform, which impacts other people's perspective of you and possibly impacts other jobs. It's a lot of pressure. So you talked about how you got interested in this, in acting as a way to be somebody else, you know, performing. But what gets you out of bed in the morning? What drives you to do what you do, whether it's acting or just anything? What's your motivation?
Life.
Okay. So what does that mean exactly?
Just living it the best that you can, as far as just everyday motivation. It's just, I don't know, what can I do today that's adventurous or whatever? What can I do to get in trouble, basically?
Okay. So it sounds like one motivation of yours is to push the envelope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So why is that important? So why is that an important motivation to you?
I've always just been outgoing. If I want to do something, I just go out and do it. I guess maybe just to prove to myself that I can do it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you say you don't know, but yet I think you do know. It sounds like you are driven by proving to yourself that you can do it.
Yeah. That's pretty much all it is. So I figure that's just about pretty much anybody's motivation.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't push the envelope every day. There's a lot of people that wake up in the morning and just want to get through the day. But what you're talking about is something a bit more than that. So it's an interesting motivation.
Yeah. Since I wake up to it every day, I suppose I don't think about it being different. So
okay,
don't even think about it. Just get up and do it.
No, that's fair. Well, and you mentioned about support system as well. So let's just focus on that for a minute too. And you mentioned your family a lot. Actually, a lot of our conversation has been focused on your husband, and the rest of your family. What role do they play in your life?
Their biggest role. They're my family. They come first. If there's something going on that needs to be done, and I have to do something, what I try to do is I schedule around my family. So okay. As soon as I find out that, let's say Todd's getting ready to do his deal, I will tell him before he starts to schedule, my kid has this day, and I have to be here for that. So, or my husband needs this. So I'm not available for these days, and he will work around my schedule. Him, I can do that with, and most people, as long as you tell them in advance when they come to you to work on something, as long as you tell them enough plenty of time that, hey, I'm not available this week or that week, it should be fine. Just make sure you tell them, you know, ahead of time and not just last minute, because then it's going to be like, well, we're either not going to do it or we're going to have to replace you, because mm-hmm. it's got to be done because show must go on.
Right. So at that point, if it's too late, they'll say it's just easier to replace you than work around your schedule.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Because I mean, to be honest, to be real, in the low budget movie world, actors and actresses are a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. I know that it takes a lot of guts to get in front of the camera, and a lot of people are camera shy, but mm-hmm. there are a lot of people out there who really want to get their foot in the door and will do just about anything to do it. So
yeah,
you got to get ready. You got to have your schedules together. You got to know that you want to do it. So
yeah, that's a really good point. Because mm-hmm. If you're unwilling or unable to do it, somebody else is right there ready to do it. So that makes sense. Yep. Okay. Well, the final question is, what do you want people to walk away with after listening to you or viewing you? What do you want people to know about Dylan Harvey?
That I'm just an average woman. Sorry, I don't think I have anything to even think about. So
okay.
Just that I'm goofy, I guess.
Okay.
I just like to be silly and just do whatever.
Talk about that goofiness for a minute. What do you mean by that?
If I can think of something to say that would make someone laugh, then I generally would just blurt it out. Okay, so an example, the other day when I was on set a few weekends ago, we were doing a film, obviously. We were standing outside and we were waiting for Todd to set up. And I was talking with the other girls, and all of us were just playing extras at the time. And I was looking at her, and we were talking about one of my favorite skits is The Oldest Man on Earth.
Yes.
So
or Tim Conway, right?
That's
yes,
it.
Okay, yes.
And I was reenacting one of his little skits by walking real slow like this.
Yes, right.
But acting like I'm running, but just like little right. teeny tiny steps. And I'm going all the way into a lamppost and just knock my head there and just and then I just kept going like I'm trying to walk through the lamppost. She was just cracking up so hard. She goes, "That's a very good impression."
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting motivation. Additional motivation you have is to make people laugh and bring joy in some ways to people's lives. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Yes. No, thank you for sharing that. Okay. Well, I do want to thank you, by the way, for this conversation. I know it's only a brief conversation, but it has given some insight into your life. It's given some insight into you and what motivates you and a little bit about your history. So that was very much appreciated. So I want to thank you.
Well, I've only done a handful of interviews, so eventually I'll get better at it.
There's no better or worse. This is about you. Every single one of these interviews is about you, where you want to talk about it. So please, it's fine. You did fantastic. Thank you. As long as you're sharing authentically about yourself, then there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Dylan, for taking time to talk today and share a bit about your life. So thank you for that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, I want to thank the viewers and listeners for tuning into Brain Burrow. And on behalf of Dylan Harvey, this is Mark DiValenti. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.